So on this fourth Sunday of Advent, our hearts are full of anticipation and joy, of course, as we approach Christmas. And throughout this Advent season, we have been centering on the theme, the heart of Christmas, and really want to send that message. And we did that the other day when we went into Mana also, when I asked children what they loved about Christmas. And a while ago, I was doing a research on Christmas, and I was consulting a digital library, was researching and then was looking for a picture of Jesus. And in that particular library, there was none. There was no picture of Jesus. Instead, there were other depictions about Christmas. And I said to myself, this is quite telling of society's views of Christmas, how it's become increasingly secularized. And with the true meaning of Jesus being at the center of Christmas, being watered down and pushed to the side. Many people now, even in some organizations, when they want to greet their staff and people, they just say, Happy Holidays, you know. And this morning, while driving through King's Road, we saw just an inscription, just Happy Holidays, Happy Festive Holidays, things like that. And this goes to show how society has really, really gone and thinking about Christmas. So when we were there last week, and we asked the children about Christmas, and they were all, you know, going about Santa, about gifts, about presents, which were all good, like Heather has mentioned. These things, they are not, they have their own place, but Jesus is the center, is the reason. Thank you for bringing that quote again. Is the reason for the season. It's really concerning to me as a person. I don't know about you, but to me as a person, it's deeply concerning to me. And I have always prayed for our children and our grandchildren that they will carry on the gospel of Jesus and then not join in this watering down of Christmas, you know. And people avoid not to just to belong and not to offend. You know, we live in a society today that we just want to avoid offending people, you know, the way we present the gospel. I get it. There are things that we have to really be within the boundaries of legal provisions. But there are things that are, I cannot help but say it the way it is. Especially if I'm sure legally I'm in the right place and I'm saying the gospel. A while ago we were doing a seminar in Sheffield, and I understand it correctly. I understand it. I understand it. But they were asking us, you know, could you just preach the word without mentioning, you know, using so much jargon? I get that. But for me, there are some things that I can't help it but say the language of Christianity. Forgive me for that. There are some things that I was born in a place that is hugely Muslim and hugely Christian. So if you grew up in such a place, of course, you find that people are bold and about what they believe in, their religion, or even lack of it. They are quite bold to use their language, to use their jargons and everything. So why should I water my own down because I want to attract them? You know, after having attracted them, then what next? What's next? Because I am standing in a place today and I make bold to say that my salvation is sure, all right? Even though I know I didn't pay anything. Jesus gave us. He gave himself for us. Righteousness is from him. But like you said, Heather, that gift, we wouldn't know what is in there if we don't open it. So if we don't accept Jesus Christ, then the salvation will not be ours. But what I'm saying is that I've come to the place that I have assurance of my salvation, that I know that come what may, that my walk with Jesus will only get better because I know that Jesus came as God's own gift for us. So today, we will delve into the profound love that God has demonstrated by sending Jesus Christ, his Son, into the world as expressed in Galatians chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 1. And as we lighted the candle today, symbolizing love, so we remind ourselves that love came down in a person, as a person at Christmas. God was made manifest in Jesus Christ, and he came to redeem us, to adopt us, and he came to bless us with every spiritual gift. So when people give gifts during Christmas or any other time, it just reflects what God already did for us, that he gave his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved me, Henry. For God so loved whoever you are, that he gave his one and only Son. That whosoever includes me, whosoever will believe in his name, whosoever, I also make bold to say that Jesus is the way. He is the way, not a way, not one of the ways. So whosoever believes in Jesus, that they will have everlasting life. And so when we read from the place that we have, one of the places we have today, if we can read together, please, Galatians 4:4-5. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. So before he said this, if you read from verse 1, in fact, if you read from chapter 3, you will see when he went on about saying, in Christ there is neither slave nor free, male, female, and you know that passage. Why he said that was that those who thought that they were sons of God, the early Jewish people, I don't know if you've read this, that in those days that many Jewish men woke up saying, Lord, I thank you that I'm not a lady, I'm not a slave, and what's the next one, the other one? I'm not a Gentile, thank you. So they woke up every morning saying that. So when Apostle Paul came around, he said, come here. There is, in Christ, there is neither male nor female. So don't say that any longer. In Christ, there is neither Gentile nor foreigner. In Christ, there is no slave or free. We are all one in Christ because God did something in Christ, and he did that at the set time. So this passage, it reflects these three things: the divine timing of Jesus coming into the world, and of course, the incarnation that we've been on about this Christmas, and the fact that Jew or not Jew, Gentile or not Gentile, if you belong to the family of faith, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are redeemed, and then you are adopted into God's family. So the phrase, as I've underlined there, set time, God set time. I want you to pay attention to it because it signifies that the birth of Jesus is not one random thing. It's not just something that just happened. It's something that was meticulously planned before it happened. And set time, you know, time in English has come from two Greek, early Greek words, you know, ancient Greek words. And one of them is Kairos, one of them is Chronos. So the time, you know, there are so many words in English that they translate from maybe Greek or Hebrew or whatever, and some of them will lose their real meaning because there is nothing closest to what it was meant in the ancient Greek. So this place that it says, but when the set time had fully come, the set time there, the time there is the Kairos, which is different from Chronos, because Chronos is a sequence of things. But set time is the appointed moment, divinely appointed moment. Each time I read this place and also read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I come to just believe in myself that whatever happens with me is not random. My life has already been planned by God before even I was born. I don't know if you believe that, but I want you to believe it, that if you are in Christ and if you are following him, your life and all the happenings around you, they've already been planned by God. He knew that we will be here today. He knows. He knows what is going to happen the next day. He has already planned it. And so wherever he sends us, whatever that he takes us to, let's believe that it is his set time for those things to happen. So the birth of Jesus Christ came at the fullness of time. It wasn't just random. It was at a time that God decided to crash down from heaven and bring us love in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And he was born of a woman, born under the law. So he was born as a Jew. He was born under a set system. And the reason why that happened was because he has come to fulfill a reason, a purpose, to redeem people who were already in the place that he was born into, so that he might free them from the shackles of the law, that he might free us, all of us, that then he will redeem us and adopt us into his family. So each time you read this place, remember that Jesus came at a Kairos moment of God. And of course, the incarnation, as we believe, Jesus became fully man. I know I am one of those scholars who believe that Jesus is fully God and fully man. He's not 50% man and 50% God. He is fully God, divine, and he sometimes decides to do that and then take full, you know, human character, if you like. But he is fully God and fully man. You know why I believe that? Because sometimes when we are tempted, we might explain away our failure and fault by saying, well, I'm not Jesus because he is God. He doesn't know, understand what I go through. But if you believe that he is also fully human, you will understand that he is giving you an example of how to say no when you are tempted and how to overcome. If he did overcome, if actually he was fully human and he also walked the earth and then overcame all the temptations, we also have the ability under God, empowered by his Holy Spirit, to be also able to overcome whatever might come our way. So Jesus has come in the fullness of time as God's own divine love, and that he gave us salvation. And then he gave us that redemption that no other thing could have given us. If we were asked to pay, if we were asked to, maybe those who were born in royal family, I mean, it doesn't matter where we have been born in, but accepting Jesus Christ is the key. Now we go forward looking at the next passage, and we see the spiritual blessings in Christ when he has come. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 14, we read this place and we understand that God has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. So in Christ, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms, in heavenly places. So these blessings are not just earthly, they are not just material things, they are not just financial things. It doesn't matter, you know, sometimes what we grapple with physically, we have been heavily blessed with every spiritual blessing. These blessings goes to also explain the redemption that we have, salvation, forgiveness, inheritance that we have in Christ. We have been chosen by him. We have been loved by him even before we were born, at the fullness of time. Whoever we are, whatever name we bear, God chose us before the creation of the world. Praise God. He chose us before the creation of the world, and he chose us in Christ, and he chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight, not because of what we have done, but because of Jesus, his son. He redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ. He gave us redemption, and he forgave us all our sins. I think this is the core message of the gospel, that Jesus came and that he became the love of God lavished on earth. And then by his grace, through his grace, and by faith, we receive the merit because of his great love. And again, when we come into the family of Christ, we are united in Christ. So God's ultimate plan is to bring everything under Christ, both things in heaven and on earth. And that's why he says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and on earth and even under the earth. So Jesus has come to be the ruler of everything, and God has come to give him that glory, because he came down. Who will go for us? Who are we going to send? Here I am. Send me. And then he became love that came down. He abandoned his glory in heaven, the splendor of all heaven, and he came down, took the form of a servant, and put himself under people, under the law, just because he wants to fulfill what God has sent him to do. As I said that, I remember the story by the great Reverend Billy Graham. I don't know. I know almost all of us remember Billy Graham. While he was preaching, in fact, I was part of the team that prepared for Franklin Graham's tour a few years ago all through the United Kingdom. I was so blessed to work with the team from the U.S., and we had an office in South Yorkshire where I used to go once or twice a week. And I worked very closely with that team. I went around to churches in South Yorkshire, especially coaching and teaching the workers before the events there. And we went, you know, training people. I sat with the team, you know, did budgeting and everything. It was so a privilege to be part of Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. But I remember a story that Billy Graham said while he was preaching. He said, imagine that someone had an ant, and the ant was just walking towards a ditch and was about to fall, you know, fall over the other way and will perish. And while the ant was, you know, walking, the man was there shouting, please, here is danger, please, here is danger. Because the ant is not human, they couldn't understand. So he said, what do I do? All right, I have to become like him so that he will be able to understand me. So he suddenly changed his nature and became an ant, and then walked to the ant and then was conversing with the ant. I said, don't you see danger? I didn't know. While he was an ant, the ant was able to understand him, and then he was able to save the little ants. And he said, this is what God did. That he had to come down and took our nature so that we will understand him in the language that we understand best. And that's what God did in Jesus Christ, that he came on earth that he might save us. And lastly, when we embrace this love, then we live in the light of this love. Or rather, we should live in the light of this love. How do we do that? First of all, you have to identify and embrace your identity. I am redeemed. Praise God. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. No matter what the enemy says, I am redeemed. I remember, like I said the other day, long time ago, while we were growing up, people came to our place to do evangelism. Every other day, we'll go to answer the altar call. Every other day we go out, you know, who wants to give their life to Christ and walk? Who wants to give? I don't know if anyone did that. Who wants to give their lives? Every day we did that until we became, you know, part of a movement and they began to teach us the assurance of salvation. You have been saved, all right? What you need to do is to have the assurance that you have been saved. Because it's quite natural for us to, you know, wanting to do it well. But when you are embrace your identity in Christ, you have been saved. No matter what, you know, voices you hear, sometimes you might hear those voices saying you are no good. You know, those voices coming around trying to put you to a corner. Those are the voices of the enemy. Don't heed. Don't listen. Just listen to the voice of the Lord speaking in you. If you are sure that you've come to the point that you've embraced Christ, if you are sure, if you are sure that there was a day that you came to the point that you met Jesus, your Lord and personal Savior, and you had genuine repentance, no matter what happens after then, just accept that what God has done is for you. Now, no true child of God will be taken away from God, except when they willingly decide to go into apostasy. If you are in Christ, you are secure in Christ. You should have that assurance and embrace that identity that I am hid in Christ. Christ is in me. And when I do that, I should be able to share the love of Christ. And that's what Christmas is all about. Praise God. That's what Christmas is all about, to share the love of Christ. And we do that through various means. Even the carol singing, even gifts we send to people, our neighbors, even the cards we send to people, even, you know, going around and all the hype about Christmas. I'm grateful to God that people at least hear something of the love of Christ during Christmas. You know, my prayer is that it will stay in their hearts, and that it will produce some fruits. And so we reflect on the incarnation of Jesus Christ, which is what he has come to do on earth, which is what God has sent him to do. And as we do that, I believe that the love of Jesus will continue to shine from us and will touch everyone around us. That is my prayer. And I would like us, as we close, to say the prayer on the screen together, please. And as we say it together, we will believe that God will hear us. Let's pray together, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. As we celebrate his birth, we are reminded of the incredible love that you have lavished upon us. Help us to embrace our identity in Christ, to live in the light of your love, and to share this love with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So let's remember that at 5 o'clock we are having our carols.